Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 179, episode 5 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is Friday, April 9th. It is 2021.
Friday.
It's the season finale, the season 179 finale. Everybody's been awaiting. Seeing how this one's going to turn out.
Wait for season 180 when we go completely alt-right QAnon.
We promised you guys. Big plot big twist for 180. Somewhere around 180. Here it comes. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Cheryl Poops, a.k.a. Larry Turd, a.k.a. Rick Shits, a.k.a. Giannis Antetokounmpo, a.k.a. Dookie Blaylock, a.k.a. Luka Doncic, a.k.a. Scotty Poopin, a.k.a. Joel Embiid, a.k.a. Poo Gasol, a.k.a. Hot Carl Malone, a.k.a. Shaquille O'Neal, a.k.a. Dikembe Mutombo. Those are courtesy of Christy Amaguchi Mane, Smash Mouth of CL, Devil to Pay, and The Official Dickhead. Shout out to y'all.
No Scat Barnes there?
No Scat Barnes. I know. I was wondering who's going to bring the Scat Barnes. Yeah. I knew I could count on you.
Scat Bonner? Come on, no.
All the scats.
Scat Bomber? Oh, come on.
Wow. well done, everybody who contributed.
Yeah.
Well done. You should all be very proud.
Gold star.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Bro, let's rip a bong. I'm Miles O'Gray, second rate pod on the internet. Then I'll be back to talk trans tonight because I host the Daily Zeit.
I don't know really. I just know that last part. So apologies to the Fray. Man, fuck the Fray. I don't know them shit. Anyway, thank you to the Brew on Discord for that, aka
the Fray. Shout out to the Fray.
Officially, I don't owe the Fray shit. Just if they want to know.
I was doing a Fray song yesterday, I think. So
what was that one?
The Where what else do I belong? Da, da, da.
I'm that singing one. This How to Save a Life.
How to Save a Life? I don't think
that's
anybody,
what I just did.
Yeah. Hey. I don't think people knew that's what I was doing yesterday. But that is what I was doing. well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant, the talented, the hilarious Paula V. Gunale!
Hey! Hi. Welcome.
Thank
you.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. So excited to be back.
Thank you for having us on your Zoom screen.
So excited to have you back.
Thank you for being in my tiny room with my tiny dog.
Yeah.
I know. Krampus? What's your dog called?
Krampus. Not Krampus. It's not
Krumpets.
Some weird.
Krumpets.
It's not some strange, probably racist Santa Claus type character from Europe, okay? It is compass, like the instrument compass to find
Rose.
Your direction. Because I like objectifying my pets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's all and just like a compass, it's all about vibes. You know,
yes.
It's all
emotional.
Oh my gosh,
compass.
She's like all about vibes. You
Where are
know?
The magnetic like, vibes taking us today, you know?
Yeah. She's a beaut. Congratulations on your lovely dog.
What are you, a judge at the Westminster Abbey dog
She's
show?
A beaut. Yeah, could I just see her teeth real quick? And then if you could turn her around, I just want to...
Can you just get me a tail measurement really quick?
Immediately getting a dog restraining order. Is that possible?
Yes.
I'm doing it.
It needs to happen.
Oh, man. How do y'all feel about people who invite themselves to pet your animals? Like if you're just walking and somebody just pulls up and it's like, oh, hi. You're like, you don't know what this dog
can I be?
Do?
I used to be that person and I learned how to ask permission.
Okay.
But I do ask permission because I think that's smarter and more polite. But also like, I want to pet the dog. I don't want to talk to you. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
But that's where I feel like dog restraining orders. There are people who just like invite themselves to pet your animal who... It's one thing, like, if a dog runs up to you at a dog park and you're like, oh,
right.
Hey, okay, cool. But when you pull up and I'm like, hi, I'm a human being right here.
Yes.
That's like holding your baby.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So when you said dog restraining order, that's what it reminded me of.
I have a like crazy story about someone who was like upset. I was at Carnegie Mellon. I was walking on this like pretty crowded street and I asked this lady if I could pet her dog because it was like the cutest little, I think it was like a French bulldog. It was so cute. And she was like, yeah, sure. And then it was a white lady. She leans over and she was like, none of these Asians want to pet my dog. And I was like, okay, what? First of all, Asian.
Wait,
second of all, what? Like there were like East Asian people walking by, like a bunch of groups of them, I guess, or something. And like, she was like offended that she didn't want to, that they didn't want to pet her. None of them were asking to pet her dog. And I was like, is this a trap? Because why do you want Asian people to pet your dog so bad? Like, why did you get the dog? And second of all, I am Asian. And third of all, why would I ever relate to you saying that, saying this to me?
That's truly wild.
It was insane. I was like, what is the purpose of this dog? Yeah.
Dog-based racism. My wife is Korean, and I have definitely had people like say things under their breath when we were walking by with, we had a King Charles Cavalier, and they were like, oh, I'm seeing all these Asian girls with King Charles Cavaliers. And it really was a cool moment. We immediately became friends with them.
First of all, what a very specific stereotype.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Yeah.
What a very strange and specific stereotype to propagate through the dog community.
Also, like, I love when people are so ignorant about their own racism that they're like, I was just making an observation.
Right.
Yep. It wasn't like that. I don't like, it's like, you don't even understand what you're saying. Yeah. Sir,
she said,
person.
Like, she said Asians with a hard A. It was like, it was very.
Yeah. Like when you like, sound like you constipated, you're like these Asians.
Oh, shit. Too much.
Yeah. Sounded like Ben Stiller and Cable Guy.
Yeah.
I think they were speaking some kind of language. I think it was Asian.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
All right, Pallavi, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about New Mexico ending qualified immunity.
Hey.
We're going to talk about some just top-rate denials coming out of the grand old party. We'll talk about some of their fundraising because it's not just the Trump company that is doing the email grifting that has now spread beyond to just the Republican Party in general.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about the latest reason we are so fucked trademark. We'll talk about a fifth force in physics, possibly. The increase in billionaires and poverty, We'll talk about toxic positivity, even if we have a chance to get to it. All of that, plenty more. But first, Paul, if you would like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Oh, okay. It's not my thing, but I did check my Wiki Feet rating again today.
Hey.
because there's this lady who put out, I think her name's Laura Bassett, I think, from The Cut. And she put out a story about how she talked to the guy who was like updating her Wiki Feet page. She like did an interview with him. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, her feet were rated like, okay, which is what my feet are rated. And then I don't know why I'm mad. And I just want to be the best at every fetish. No. Yeah, and then right. she like interviewed this guy and he was like almost 60. And he was like, yeah, when I was like 9, I realized like, it's okay. Like it's harmless. Like I was somebody like his sister's friends or something like tied him up and tickled his feet or something. And he was like super into it
when he was,
and he
baby,
was like, it's
yeah.
fine. It's fine. If I'm into this, I'm cool with it. And so then he sees it as like a public service to like take Instagram posts of like that women post with their feet and like upload it to Wiki Feet to like help the
without
community.
Checking with them first.
He said he thinks about that. He was like, I do think about that, but I forget what he said, how he justified it, but he was like, he's like, I have a conscience, you know. He's basically like, I'm a good guy. But it was like, it was an interesting article to read. So then I was like, I haven't checked my Wiki Feet rating in a while. And I went back. I think they added a picture, another picture where more of my, it's fucking weird that I think about post, like before I post a picture, I'm like, hope my feet aren't showing. Like, right. It's, you know what I mean? Like, it's weird that I think that, but for the most part, like I don't have like clear foot shots. And then there was one picture that I think had been added since last time. And it was me and my mom. And we were in saris and our like, we were wearing chappals where like my feet was showing more. And I was just like, I don't know how I feel about my mom being on my Wiki Feet page.
What if like, she got a higher rating than you? That would be real.
they're like, I'm giving this a 5, but only for the mom.
They're like, link for mom?
Or like a 1, I guess. Yeah.
Link for mom.
I forget. I think 1 is actually the beautiful, and then like 5 is like not nice or whatever.
It's like the idea of the guy who's doing is like, I'm not like a monster, you know, right. Like I'm thinking about the Wiki Feet community and that they need to see these pictures.
No, so he literally was like, I'm doing this for the community. Like I'm doing this for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, he's like, you can't really like, you can't like comment and like interact. It's like, you know, it's not like, like a really community based website. So I'm just like doing this to like help out, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah. Way to make yourself the hero in this situation. Really cool.
Yeah.
I'm not a monster. I'm like selfless when you kind of think about it. Sort of a hero. Yeah. I don't know.
A foot vigilante.
I don't see myself as Kong or Godzilla. More like FDR. What is this? Why are these three people grouped together?
What is something you think is overrated?
I don't know. I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this last time, if this overrated opinion has persisted. But like, if anybody does a Baja Blast tweet, it goes super viral. Have you noticed this? There are so many.
God.
And it's very, I've talked to several friends about it, and it seems to be a white person thing. They like love Baja, and I used to like Baja Blast. I love Taco Bell. Used to like Baja Blast, and then it soured on me with all these. Literally, you could say anything that rhymes with Baja Blast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
10, 20,000, 50,000.
Yeah,
likes. You know.
Yeah, I just saw one today.
Were two or three today.
Yeah, I was gonna bring up, but I really, because also I think honestly we created Baja Blast culture on this podcast 3 years
you
ago.
Did?
4 years
around.
Ago.
It's,
I mean, like, I've been, nah, fuck that, Jack.
Okay.
That. My toxic ego has arrived, bro.
Yes.
And we created Baja Blast, the drink, everything about it. No, but I think it really is like the laziest thing because it feels just the mention of like, I think the one I saw today was like, make sure you enjoy your Baja Blast because it could be your Baja Last.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah. And by the way, because I am one of those simple people who is part of Baja Blast culture, every time one of these goes viral, like, that's all I, my mentions are just full of people being like, hey, did you see this one? Did you see this one?
Because you're Mountain Dew guy and I'm Subway tuna guy. Which is what happens.
Oh, you guys cultivated these food personalities for yourself.
And I mean, still yet to get a free Subway, so I don't see how it's fucking paying off yet.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're fuck them, but I'll still eat their fake ass tuna.
I like all TBD. I like all Mountain Dew. I like Taco Bell, so I'm like very much in the Venn diagram. I will say, like, I am not a extra Baja Blast. Like, it's not my favorite
he's
by
distancing.
Far.
I can feel you distancing yourself from
but,
it right now.
Well, I mean,
he's a traditional, you know.
Yeah, Dewhead. Dew boy. Doobie brother.
Du Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Dumar.
Instead of the Baja Blast tweets, can we have a rallying cry to bring back the Mexican pizza? Because it was very anti-Indian of them to take it away. That is a very, it's a staple food in the Indian community. Is
really?
Taco Bell's Mexican pizza.
I don't know.
We love that shit, dude.
Why?
Where did it go?
What is it?
I want it back.
Why does it resonate? Well,
I don't know, man. It's just so good. You got the crispy shell.
You got a little bean layer.
Fixins, right? I don't know, man. It's a thing. We love it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's just I think we peaked when we started doing like Castilian Spanish with Baja Blast.
Baja Blast.
I think that's where we peaked.
Oh, that was
with
the
our,
whole thing
with
that
our
I missed.
Baja Blast jokes on this show. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there'll be one that'll make me laugh more.
Yeah.
But now it feels like they're particular, like,
too much.
I specifically had that thought within the last week that it just seemed like it was like a paint by numbers thing. Whereas, like, yeah, you just put a Baja Blast reference into any popular saying.
We had a group of POC and we're sick of this Baja Blast shit. Why do white people love all this Baja Blast stuff? And then some of them were like, let's just do them and see how they go. And they went more viral than anything that they tweeted before. And we were like, we hate this. What's happening? And then there were more Baja Blast tweets on the timeline.
Yeah.
See, don't get over leveraged in the Baja Blast economy. You know, I think it's a bubble. I think it's a bubble and we're seeing it burst right now.
It's about to Baja burst.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah, boy.
I hate myself. Boy. I hate this. I hate everything.
What is something you think is underrated besides the Mexican pizza?
I'm like now appreciating collage more because my new roommate, her entire room is covered in collage. And yesterday, look at this, guys. She gave me one for my room.
Whoa.
She gave me a little collage. And it's I don't know. I feel like it brightens up her room and it's just interesting to look at.
What are the components of this collage?
This one, honestly, I'm not sure what everything is. there's like statues.
Then it's perfect.
There's a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. I got it last night. I haven't done all the research. There's a tent. That's a good ass glowing tent right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's a glowing tent.
Giant fucking moon right over here with a bunch of little people that you can see in silhouette.
Yeah.
There's a sign from a protest where the earth is saying help. You know, I feel that. That's how I feel every morning.
I picture your roommate with their ear to your door right now and just, okay, good.
It's cute that you think I have a door and not a curtain for a door.
okay, then lightly looking through the curtain fold.
Look at this hippo. Look at this cute ass hippo. There's a goddamn hippo on this. But it's just fun. And I think she goes by like color and like overall feel.
Yeah.
But like her room is like, it's kind of like the club of our apartment. Like she has glowing lights and collages and lava lamps. And we just like go in there and we vibe.
Oh,
it's super fun. But yeah, I'm like, this is dope. I love collage.
What kind of lights is she working with? She got like the Christmas lights going or is
rodeo
she has
lights?
Like, yeah, she has like those like, I don't know if they're Christmas, but they're Christmas lightsy and they're like, they hang down. She's got them in like drapes and stuff.
Oh yeah.
And then she just got those those glasses that make all the lights look like hearts. So it's like extra like kaleidoscopy.
Okay. does your roommate just do shrooms in there all day?
No comment.
Okay, because I'm like, this sounds like the pro room the to trip in. You're like, yo, yeah.
But if you
I got
guys,
the collage, I got the flickering lights, I got the glasses.
It's literally, it feels like an entirely different space. But when everything's opened up and we're all vaccinated and good, you guys are welcome to come over and hang out in my roommate's room.
Off my face on shrooms with heart sunglasses on, being like, wow, look at the trails.
Also, there's just an incredible overlap between things that 3-year-olds appreciate and things that people on shrooms appreciate. I think because, like, for the reason that we do shrooms to, like, open the doors of perception, like, they just haven't, like, had all that, you know, shit calloused over their brain yet. So they love Christmas lights, man. I can just, like, make a day by putting up Christmas lights in their room, and then we just got a stuffed animal that shoots planet-shaped lights at their ceiling. And
what?
Yeah,
planet-shaped lights? What do you mean?
It just projects. Yeah,
I thought it was.
I made it sound a little more exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what kind of toys? So cool.
But who doesn't love that shit?
Yeah,
like, that shit's so fun. Why don't we do more of that shit all the time?
Because it's. Yeah. I think we have this idea, like. Again, maybe we're at fault that lights are for people on drugs.
Yeah.
Or like toys or like all of that stuff. It's like, we're adults. We're allowed to play with children's stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one can tell us we're not allowed to.
I'm loyally playing PlayStation till I die. Like, you know, I'll never stop playing my beloved toy from when I was fucking 12 years old.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And New Mexico has ended qualified immunity.
Yeah, it's, you'd love to see it. Like, literally, this is, these are the steps we need to take to have some kind of equitable society in which police officers and any government employee can not just violate your rights and then hide behind this statute of qualified immunity to avoid any kind of civil prosecution. So if you don't know what it is, this is basically the doctrine that shields police officers, government officials, from ever being personally held responsible for all kinds of malfeasance. And it makes it, it's so hard for someone to bring a lawsuit against a police officer. We'll just talk specifically in the instances of police brutality, because not only do you have to, like, there requires so many levels for this suit to go through to overcome the qualified immunity thing, essentially that you would have to require proof that this officer clearly violated established law. And it, there's a lot of nuance in there that allows for many suits to just fucking end right there. So, like, let's say a police officer illegally searches your shit, like your Jay-Z and 99 right. Problems.
Oh, no, I was going to say.
You'll say that, you know, that's a violation of your Fourth Amendment civil liberties. You know, like, that's, you can't do that. But the police will then argue in court that it's actually more nuanced and that this isn't as straightforward as a comparable case, as a way to allow the judge to fucking toss the whole fucking thing. Because the first, it's just, the whole process is fucked up. First, you have to prove that an officer violated a specific right, and then you have to prove that they knew they were violating a specific right. So
shouldn't they know that they were, like, isn't this in the training manual?
Well, see, this is where it comes out.
Default.
It could be that, like, a specific use of force was settled in a court case, and you say, oh, that's how you know you can't do that, because they lost this case, which says specifically that's what it is. If you can't find a case that mirrors what happened to you exactly, they will not, they'll say, like, oh, well, that hasn't been established as a transgression of your rights. So,
and that's always like the rules are made because somebody broke the system and then they had to put the rule in, but
right.
It's only until after the damage is done.
Because you could be like, oh my God, well, you saw in this thing, the person was brutalized with excessive use of a taser or something. And because you were you were getting fucked up with a pepper ball gun or some shit, they're like, oh, well, that's not the same thing. So you can't prove that it's established law at this point. So this allows for police to regularly violate our civil rights. Also allows for a lot of wrongful convictions, because a lot of these things happen in the course of police violating your rights. Right. So removing this immunity allows for civil suits to go forward where the fucking police officer is personally liable for their actions. Personally. So that right. means you could, we like, this helps for people to fuck around and then find out what that means, because normally this qualified immunity just allowed people to keep banging with their fucking terrible behavior.
Yeah. Okay, now end police officers.
Right. Yeah, step yeah, one, scare them away, you know, because, like, I don't have money to keep violating these people, and then they're going to sue me. But it's only two, like, states right now, Colorado yeah. and New Mexico, so shout out to Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham for signing that.
It feels like one of, like, a dozen social institutions that protect them, like including the fact that they are just like they're, where they're positioned, like culturally, all the fucking propaganda that we're faced with on a daily basis. And then you have the thing that we kind of made reference to earlier in the week with police. When something like this happens, like I'm going to like set a reminder to continue to Google New Mexico police to see if the same thing happens there that we've seen in LA, where the police then become petulant and stop doing their job and are like, well, you guys were mad at us, so now we're not going to do the thing that we're paid to do. Like,
But that's the thing is they don't even have, they don't have an obligation to act.
Right.
To stop crime.
Right.
So it's like they've had a history of being allowed to do whatever the fuck they want with this qualified immunity while never having to have the responsibility to stop or help.
Right.
Yeah. And if you want to sue me, good fucking luck. Because yeah. I've got the, you're actually you're going to pay for it with your tax dollars. So, you know, rock on with your lawsuits. But yeah, this is it's only two states now that have this or some form of reducing the qualified immunity. And this now, it's not just police officers. It can be, you could be a school administrator. You can be a city official. You can be a corrections officer.
Was qualified immunity covering those people?
Yeah, it covers usually all government people, like all government officials. Like it would protect some form. Okay. Yeah, if they were violating you, that you couldn't come at them with a civil lawsuit based on them, you know, violating your rights.
Damn.
There was just talking about like how, what the standing for this sort of thing is in the rest of the country. There was a article on the front page of the Wall Street Journal yesterday about how like there's a backlash to this sort of thing in Philly. And they just like made it sound completely hopeless. They not according to them, this is like these sorts of things are unreasonable, but it really fucking felt like a kick in the gut.
What was the backlash? Was it,
it's just like they're not
legislative, or was it
they're not backing a DA, I think, who has been critical of the institutional racism within the law enforcement community. And they're you know,
what a way to prove them wrong.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because I mean, he was, you know, Krasner was, you know, he was coming in on some different shit from the beginning,
right?
Into Philly, so like he's always been shown himself to be willing to be like, I'm not here to fucking cape for police. The fuck are you talking about?
Right.
And because he's not, that causes you problems because most of the time the DA is like your the best friend who's like, yeah, don't worry, do whatever the fuck you want.
Right. Exactly.
I've seen Law and Order. I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. We all seen it.
We get it. All right, let's talk about some denials from the GOP. Just a couple rough media appearances that highlight the fact that they are now just a, you know, institution perpetuating white supremacy that, like, everything else is just, like, smoke and mirrors and corruption.
Yeah. This is nonsense. There's just people who are, you know, used like images of George Washington to give them cover this whole time. And now it's like wearing off. And you're like, I think you're just a lecherous fucking fuckback
right.
who happens to have Congress person as a title. Mm-hmm. So first up is one of my favorite about faces that you have to do. Tune in for season 180 for when we do that. But the Alabama Secretary of State, John Merrill, he was considering running for Richard Shelby's Senate seat, who's retiring. And but then these scandalous rumors came out about him having an affair. So he says, so someone came out and said, look, I was having an affair with this person over like from 2017 to 2020, basically. And he wrote in his denial, beginning in 2019, this woman began texting and communicating with me through social media. While we exchanged texts and she even visited the office, it was clear she had other intentions that were bordering on obsession. I alerted my wife, Cindy, to this, and we both agreed to cut off any and all communication with her. When I cut off communication, she began harassing my staff at all hours of the day. She even began stalking me at multiple locations, which eventually led her to locating my Montgomery residence and sending threatening messages to me that foretold the lies she would make up about my marital life if I did not keep talking to her. Yeah, just to talk to her.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, here's the thing, Secretary of State Merrill. This woman clearly went to the V. Stiviano School of Receipt Procurement. And if you remember, V. Stiviano is a woman who recorded Donald Sterling saying wild racist shit about his basketball players because she has his ass on tape talking about all the wild fucking they did. So when AL.com was like, sir, are you still deny these allegations? He's like, absolutely. They said, OK, can you listen to this tape really quick?
So the last time that we had sex, that's the last time ever.
Well, it was a pretty good day.
That's the last time ever?
It's supposed to be the last time ever.
He goes on to say how he needs God and stuff like that. So when they played that clip for him, he says this. They played him the tape. And then he goes, it's clear that I... This is literally his response upon hearing the tape. Quote, it's clear that I had an inappropriate relationship with her and it's not something that I am proud of or something that is something that I'm very disappointed in myself. I'm also disappointed that I allowed my family to be embarrassed by this action. And it's something that I certainly will always regret because of the pain that it has caused my family.
Wow.
Yo, he had that notes app ready to go.
Yeah. He's just like, oh, fuck.
It's like, sorry, one second.
He's like, wait, which apology is this?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I love that all of these ones, like, it always starts with that, why are you so obsessed with me? Like, that
Is
always the first thing. That's a Mariah Carey defense, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right? High school grade gaslighting, yeah.
Yep.
Where you're just like, no, she's actually obsessed with me. And that's what's
and
going
also,
on.
What pisses me off on a broader scale is like, yeah, affairs are shitty and bad to your partner. And like lying and what that's all bad, but it's like his policies are much worse and no one cares about
that. Yeah,
right.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's in terms of harm done to larger populations of people.
It's because it's so weird because I think politics, like political discourse is also stuck in this era too, where affair equals bad equals the worst thing that can happen. And we can just focus on that rather than anything substantive. Like an affair will always be fucking juicy no matter what.
But it's also they hold themselves, their standard, like their politics are this like very ultra religious view of humanity that is unforgiving to the point of like killing people who commit crimes. And then so I get that there is a connection between why their politics and why it's so fun to see them then be completely full of shit. And amoral in a way that ultimately doesn't matter to me at all. But
no, but you just like, we want to watch someone eat shit like that.
Right.
Be like, oh, really? Here's this tape.
I would normally like feel bad for his wife in that she was cheated on, but she married him. So fuck her.
You know? Right. Of course.
I'm like, I guess like, and also if like the number of times I've seen men stand there with their wives like apologizing, like, because that is when you marry a man like that or a man in a public like space or like you're both famous or something, that is a possibility where you're gonna have to like stand next to him as he says that he cheated on you and that you're working on it together. I'm like, kill me. I would never be in that position.
Yeah,
that'd be amazing.
I'd be like, if I was still in the marriage and not just gone, I'd be like, get him. Like,
yeah,
I'd be
yeah.
like, no, I'm going to sit with the press. We're asking questions together.
Yeah, you're actually like, you know what? No, let go of my hand, motherfucker. Right. I'm going on the other side of this podium.
How has nobody ever done that?
On the interrogation
Senator,
lamp,
Senator.
I'm
going to
be... Yeah, call on me, bitch. Let me have a voice.
How has nobody ever done that? Gone up there, pretended like they were going to stand by their end, and then like
and then
the mic goes over to them, and they're like, fucking kill me, this asshole.
He's a piece
can
of
go
shit.
Fuck himself. As you can see.
I'm off this. Mic
this
drop.
Is like, this is like a like flash mob proposals, right? Where like the girl is like not aware. I live for the ones where she rejects him because it's just so. I'm like, if you're at a point where you like don't know the person like well enough to know if they'll
absolutely.
Say yes, why are you doing this in public?
If the flash mob is like you're like, well, we did a flash mob, so she's probably going to be impressed by that, and maybe
what?
She'll say yes.
She,
like,
you know what?
No,
she wasn't
all
in before I did my step ball change, and now she's in it.
Right.
She loved my pirouette.
Did she?
She wants to marry me.
I mean, did you see me hit the dab, and then I hit them folks too? Those are early Vine moves I did.
I did that for you.
So dumb. Next up of the bumbling idiots is Eric Bolling, who is a former Fox News host that has teeth so white you thought his mouth was a Klan rally. And he, I want to say he's former Fox News host because he was fired for sending lewd messages to coworkers. That's why he's, this is the kind of character he is, you know, essentially a Fox News talent.
Right.
So this doesn't have to do with the lewd text messages. It has to do with his transparent racism, because he went on the BBC to discuss the voting laws in Georgia and how the, you know, how the All-Star game being relocated was actually very bad for all of the black people in Georgia who he cares deeply about.
Right. That's now, his main concern.
Objectively, yes, it's not good to boycott these things because more than likely it's going to fall on the people of color and wage workers who would actually depend on all these activities happening. And also, let's be real, this Georgia is not the only state with this kind of, I'm pretty sure there's 43 other ones you can look at too and give them this kind of same attention. But in this very narrow instance, I think he did. I think he thought because he was on the BBC and they're from the UK that he could just say some shit like that about how he cares so much. And like, it's really heartbreaking to see because he actually cares. And these laws aren't so offensive and backwards and regressive that we're going back to fucking Jim Crow, that he felt like saying something like that would just preserve his poorly stealthed racism. But on the other side of that panel was Aisha Mills, who's a regular on CNN, MSNBC. And she had to shut the shit down so quick that he had to run away. So I'm going to like she. It's a pretty long interaction, but just know that once he says like, and I really care about them, she sort of starts off being like, I think it's rich that this white Republican is trying to say he gives a fuck about people of color. Are you serious? Is the gist of it. And we'll get to the point where it starts getting a little fraught.
About racial discrimination. And how dare you try to act like you are somehow a proponent of black people in businesses just to make a point and to try to create a wedge. It's ignorant and it's just disrespectful.
That's disgusting. I'm done. Put me off. That's disgusting. I am nowhere anything you're painting me to be. And the problem with American politics is exactly that. Because I'm white, you think I'm racist? That's BS. Okay. I'm done.
Will you just say, Eric,
he
just
walks off right
question.
Now. He's walked off camera.
So the question we've walks got, back. Aisha, is, stay for one back. Question, Eric. Let me put this
I,
to you
I'm,
because
I'm absolutely, I don't know why I'm staying here. I don't know why. Let me put to you.
Let me put to you the question
oh,
that,
I'm not, I'm,
that
I'm,
Mitch
I'm
McConnell
not
was saying.
You
offended.
Need an no. apology.
And she says, "I'm not going to apologize for being offended," and he walks off.
Uh huh.
Wait. First of all, okay. I need to pull this. So he was basically he was just saying that black people were going to be affected by it. And he brought black people up out of nowhere.
No, because as they were talking about what's happening in Georgia, like one of his last takes before Aisha responds is just about, he's like, you know, regardless of how you feel about the voting bill, he's like, moving the All-Star game out of Georgia is going to affect the like black businesses and people of color in the state of Georgia who I care about. Like he was concerned trolling about the MLB's move away from Georgia for the All-Star game.
But okay. But he brought it up with the game with like that having had no connection before.
Right.
Like,
well, no, I mean, as they talked about it, but he's going down the line of like, never, it's always going to be deracialized. It's about restoring trust in the things. Right. Critics say
and
this.
Then, two, every time a white person goes, because I'm white, I'm racist, I want to be like, yeah, yes, you are.
First of all, yes, implicitly.
First of all, yes. Because of the system. And second of all, every person who says that, yes.
Right.
That's
if you're not willing to give that much thought to it, to just say, oh, because I'm white, I'm racist, like, wow, look at these thought-killing cliches you're just throwing out, rather than entertaining further. Because I'll say this, everybody who lives in any country that's dominated by white supremacy, you will internalize that shit. In fact, most of the earth, because of the media that's shot out of cannons from this country, is only reinforcing these sort of ideas as well. So, yeah, we all have a part to confront our own innate racism, for sure, sir.
And then when he said, that's disgusting, I literally thought it was because a woman of color was talking. I was like, that's what he's reacting to.
Right.
Like, of obviously
you're gonna let this lady
so
dunk
mad
on me
when women of color talk. They get so pissed that that's they're true. Allowed to speak.
Well, there's nothing more upsetting to a, you know, cishet white conservative man than to be just absolutely Vince Cartered on, dunked on by a woman of color.
right?
Or any person of color who is not like you or conforms to whatever your, you know, conservative set of norms is.
I wish we could just, like, I wish we could just, when they're like, when white people get defensive like that in public and they're like, I'm not, like, you're calling me racist. The person is never, like, outright calling them racist. And I wish we could just say that. I wish we could just be like, yes, you are racist. Here's a list. And then just, like, unfurl a scroll.
Right.
you know what I mean?
I think
we can never, they never say that because they're, like, they're pressured to have a civil conversation according to, like, through the white lens, right? So, like, white people get so upset when you call them racist. But I just want to, like, let's just throw it out there. Let's just start calling them what they are.
Well, yeah, I think that's the duty all people have, is to clearly communicate things like that. You do, it's a disservice to allow someone to be racist and then obscure it with, like, whatever fucking, you know, language you want to use to make it euphemistic.
Yeah. The demanding an apology is peak snowflakeism, fragility. Yeah.
No, you got to apologize for saying the truth. Oh, I'm sorry. Leave.
I'm going to take my ball and go home if you don't apologize.
Okay, take your ball because you got fired from every damn outlet you ever been on.
Right.
So. Wait, so he got fired and he's still going on shit talk? Like, why are we giving him a platform?
I think because they were just like, you know, hey, we found a racist idiot to get absolutely pwned on this show to talk out loud. So here he is.
So that's my question, is because so this is how they're like presenting themselves as a party in the media, like in a more... Yeah, in a more like kind of a setting where people might be more inclined to believe one way or the other, not just like fully in the funnel of the Republican Party and those policies. So I like people obviously see that and they're like, that's fucking like just laughable. But I also feel like the people who are on these mailing lists have to at this point also be seeing this, right? Like there's a article in The Bulwark where they, like, one of their reporters is on a NRCC mailing list and was saying the thing that, like, the New York Times called the Trump campaign out for last week that led the Trump campaign to have to, like, refund millions and millions of dollars to elderly people who agreed to contribute to the Trump campaign and then were automatically signed up for like recurring contributions until basically they were out of money. So he was like, oh, they're still doing that, like, as a Republican Party to their donors. So the NRCC sent a text on Tuesday to this reporter saying, you have 10 minutes to join Trump's social media network. Last chance to sign up. Will you be the first to join? So very interesting that it's last chance I'm first to join. And then you go to the landing page. It says President Trump is planning to launch his own social media site very soon. Will you be the first to join? 5X matching activated so you can show your support for President Trump and House conservatives. This has no affiliation with Trump. It's a complete lie. And also he doesn't have a social media site yet. They're just like lying about, like, that.
Was he trying to Renner? What's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. So then they present you with two boxes that are pre-checked. The first makes the donation monthly recurring. So they're just, and I want to read to you the wording on this. It says, we need your help to draft Trump for president. Check this box if you want Trump to run again. Uncheck this box if you do not stand with Trump. And then in small print underneath it says, make this a monthly recurring donation. So that's the translation above, but below they have to tell you the truth. Then the next box says, Trump patriot status, missing! Exclamation point. As a top grassroots supporter, we were surprised to see you abandoned him. This is your last chance to update your status to active. Donate an additional $50 automatically on 4/7.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime an email tries to inspire any emotion in me with like capital letters or whatever, I'm like, bitch, do you know how many men my age I've dated? I'm dead inside. You're not going to get me with caps locks, okay?
Right. I see this in my text messages all the time. Especially abandoned me.
Yeah, I'm sending that shit. Are you kidding me?
They're like, wait, y'all stole my text.
Don't try to play the player, okay?
This is your last chance to be fuckable.
Guys,
this is
your
last fucking chance before I
Pavi, I'm just surprised as all to see that you abandoned me.
That you've gone missing.
Yeah, the quick turn.
Well, it's great to see this sort of the whole, again, we talk about all the time how white supremacy, this idea of superiority is just a slow bleed poison that over time you keep ingesting it. It's not going to lead to positive outcomes for you.
Right.
And in this case, it's like, hey, agree to be financially bled dry by this other white supremacist grifter. It's like, great, there it is.
This is also like between the fuckboy thing and then also just like, do you know how much I check Wikipedia and I don't donate to them? So like what, right. Like what are these pop-up boxes gonna do for
yeah.
There is something about yellow though, because these pop-up boxes are all yellow, which is also yeah. I believe the Wikipedia boxes. So something
it's very
about yellow.
Similar.
Yeah.
Well,
do you want to spread information or misinformation? These
right.
are your options.
Yeah.
I think because doesn't yellow stimulate brain activity?
I don't know.
Because I had a math teacher who would print all of our tests on like yellow paper.
Right.
As like his way to be like, I'm looking out for y'all, like subtly or whatever.
Sweet.
I mean, not that it's like fully provable, but it's like a good color associated with that. But I think it's that. Plus, this is again, these texts, we know who they would fucking shake to their core. Old people.
Yeah. The elderly.
Old people would fucking, I'm sure five people died reading these because they were so fucked up about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, unrelated.
They thought
but
this was like chain mail. They were like, I have to check the boxes and send it to 10 friends.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
No, legit. I just have to read this other, this is just on the NRCC website. It says, checkbox. We need to know we haven't lost you to the radical left. If you uncheck this box, we will have to tell Trump you're a defector and sided with the Dems. Check this box and we can win back the House and get Trump to run in 2024. And that's a checkbox that underneath in small print, make this a monthly recurring donation. So that's how they're getting you to agree to have them take, like have access to your bank account, basically.
I kind of feel like respected that they capitalized the first letters of radical left.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like formal. Thank you. We do deserve that.
Yes.
We're radical, honestly. Cowabunga, y'all.
Also, they're using like fucking nom terms like defector.
Right,
and
right.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's all by design, baby. Like, really, ooh, we're going to tell Trump, you little bitch, is like what the next one is going
to
be.
We will
like,
have to tell Trump you're a defector is so wild. And so, like, you can't write that sentence and have respect for whoever you're targeting with it. Like, you are writing that laughing and pointing with the person who's next to you, like, being like, look at this shit for these idiots. Like, that...
Are evangelicals and the GOP, like, are they working together or are they now competitors in this pyramid scheme? Like, what is...
That's a great question.
How is Mary Kay involved? I need to know, like, who's getting which segments of
the
population.
Look, as long as the GOP can deliver the fucking, you know, the end days, the end times, I think they're fine with whoever, really.
But I feel like this all has to backfire, right? Like, it's too transparent. Like, I don't know. I have a theory that I always talk about that, like, people aren't quite as stupid as the people who are like, people are dumb. Like, you have to appeal to and like speak of people as like a abstract group of dummies that you're trying to herd. Like, I think they overdo it. And I think people are smarter than that. And I feel like this has to backfire, like, eventually. It's just too dumb.
I think people aren't as dumb as people say, but it is. But we operate under the presumption that people are telling us the truth. And that's like that, like, you can get gaslit, you can get misinformation, you can get all of that while still being smart. It's just like the people who are in power lie to you. So it's like you can still be manipulated.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're back to the fuck boys. Right. No. Okay.
Yeah. It's truly like it's the same, you know, rhetorical strategy to convince a 5-year-old to like sort of fall in line because, oh, if you don't do this, I will tell Santa you're a fucking defector, bitch. Like,
this
whoa.
Elf on the Shelf bullshit. 1000%.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but I don't know, Jack. I think we may be pretty dumb as a fucking people.
This is...
Because if you look at some of the polling that's coming out around celebrities running for office,
I think
we are dumb as fuck all. So this new poll comes out, just top line stuff. 63% of the people they polled, I think is out of like a group of maybe 10 or 20,000 people, voters. 63% of Americans believe Hollywood stars can make good politicians with the right attitude and support staff. Okay. Huh. Really? Just like that. Then they start asking, who would you like to see run for office? Now, I will say this. 58% support Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Matthew McConaughey running for president and governor of Texas, respectively.
Wait, that's 58 total or 58?
Like, so if you look at how they like shape up, like they're enjoying for them, like in a sample based on asking the question, do you think Dwayne The Rock Johnson should run? He's doing about 58%.
Jesus Christ.
Between the answer of like, yeah, he should, and both Matthew McConaughey. Anyway, that's
not saying I'd vote for him, but I want the option.
Mm-hmm. They're not considering that if Dwayne's president, Kevin Hart's going to be vice president. And I don't know if we can handle that.
It would be odd.
Yeah.
Hottie old wrestler ticket.
I mean, what about the action movies? That would be the real place it would hurt us. We would be without Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I mean, when they just said, so for people who were said like they were supported Hollywood celebrities running for office, they said, among the following, who would you like to see run for office? The most, 22%, Tom Hanks, 21%, Will Smith, 17%, George Clooney, 13%, AirPod vape fucker, Leonardo DiCaprio. 10% Harrison Ford, 9% Robert Downey Jr., 8% Robert De Niro.
And
Leonardo DiCaprio is truly wild. Oh, you don't know the story? Oh, you don't know?
No, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know?
It's just it's based on a eyewitness account that I don't know the person who said this, but it seems to be have
internet
some
lore.
It's internet lore, but it like people who know are like, yeah, that's a true story. Is that someone slept with Leonardo DiCaprio, and while they were having sex, he lay on his back with noise canceling headphones and vaped, and that's how disconnected he was from.
Yeah,
yeah, he was just like
President
okay.
Vape fucker.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Damn.
Proceed.
But maybe
ma'am.
Better with the environment than some of these other people.
Sadly.
Right.
I'm sorry. If you raised Chet Hanks, you cannot qualify for president.
No, absolutely.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Tom. I love you. I do not love you.
But that's how he's going to get the black vote.
Right. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
Hear me now, people of color of the United States. Your boy Chet, you know. God. I'm like, what the fuck? Boo this asshole.
And then the Black Queen merch that he was trying to sell.
Oh boy.
Yeah, pretty rough.
I mean, it's a white boy summer, you know. Which I'm pretty sure the last
few million summers have
been
Jack. That.
Thank you. I've been waiting for this.
Turn.
Finally. When's it going to be white boy summer?
When's it going to be brown girl winter?
And then they're asking, you know, as they said, among the following female celebrities, who would you like to see? The highest getter was Angelina Jolie, 30%, followed by Oprah, close, with 27%, then Dolly Parton at 12%, Ellen at 9%, Meryl Streep at 9%, Helen Mirren at 7%, and Jane Fonda at 6%. I'm sorry, Helen Mirren cannot be the president.
I was wondering when Jane Fonda would pop up, because she seems the most in the know out of everyone on that list.
She should be higher. She's the one person on this list who should be higher. And then
you know, Angelina Jolie,
wouldn't do it because she knows.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And steals little kids and stuff. So, you know.
Steals little kids.
So she could be president.
Oprah should go nowhere near science. I think one of the things that I said was overrated one time when I was on here was like Oprah, but only for the science shit, because she's awful at it. She like puts the worst people in platform. She'd be like, yeah, she'd appoint the worst people.
I have crystal expert here to help us solve climate change. You're like, no. Come on, Oprah.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And let's do a little physics corner here real quick. This is top of my mind always. The four forces: gravity, electromagnetism, the strong force, and the weak force are the four known forces in the universe. Gravity, electromagnetism are the ones that we usually interact with on a daily basis. The strong force and the weak force are apparently like more at a molecular level. Obviously,
subatomic.
Subatomic. Yes.
Molecular is different.
Molecular is bigger.
I was going to say it's usually turntabling, emceeing, graffitiing, right, and breakdancing.
Yes.
But those are the pillars of hip hop. But okay, I guess this is some other shit. What is this called? Physics?
Physics.
Okay.
With an X. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now there's apparently possibly a... I love how I tried to sound smart by saying molecular level. And it was like wild.
Jack O'Brien, writer of the Marvel movies. Yes. It almost sounds like science. Don't question it.
Guys, we're at a molecular level here. Time travel is possible when you get down to the molecular level. What?
Iron Man legit made an element in front of us. And we were all just like, yeah, okay. Yeah,
go ahead. Uh-huh.
Sure. What's Captain America got to say about it?
All right. So physicists say they may have found possible signs of a fifth fundamental force of nature, which is, so it's like very weak. It's basically like it's a tiny, tiny percentage of a fraction of a percentage stronger. The magnetism of one thing they measured in one of the particle colliders is like a little bit stronger than it should have been, and they're like, this probably means there's another force that we were not
and
taking
that force,
into account.
Love. That force was love.
Mm-hmm. According to Christopher Nolan, yes, yeah. That force was love. God, that movie's ending. Oof. What was that movie called?
Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Fun fact, one of the best movies to deal with science, because they took Kip Thorne's advice. Kip Thorne, now Nobel Prize winner, I don't think he was at the time, and he was like Stephen Hawking's best friend. Kip Thorne advised the movie, and then they fucking actually took the advice. So everything was very accurate, accurately portrayed. Until they started talking about love, and
yes,
I was like, this shit's not believable.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Love doesn't solve
all
this.
That's what was
shit.
So frustrating about it, is that they like made a whole movie with the point being like, we've stuck to everything. Like, everything has become scientific. And then at the end, they were like, but what if love?
Hmm. Yeah. What it's like, think about that. Everyone was
and that
like,
and that little girl was love.
Completely missed the part where we actually may have made the most realistic rendering of a black hole possible on film.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dope at various parts. I just was very disappointed by that ending. Anyways, this fifth force is, has a cooler name. It's Muon. Is that right?
Muon's the particle.
Right. Yeah. Obviously.
But
it's
like how the particle's been acting. Okay. I skimmed the article. But uh-huh. I think it's like the way the particle was acting in that Fermi lab experiment, and I think it was confirmed by another lab. But it's the muon is the particle. But I think it indicated this fundamental force that you're telling me about.
Mm hmm. Yes, telling you about very eloquently and precisely, using the most precise and scientific language possible.
Listen, I love the fifth fundamental force. That was a great Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
Muon, let's call the...
I can do that whole opera song from that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Incredible. But that should be your next intro song for TDZ.
Anyways, it probably won't affect our day-to-day lives in the near future. Like
jetpacks today.
there's a like a stand. What is it? The standard model or something that they're saying this would kind of render obsolete. Like the basic.
Yeah, just our basic understanding of physics and forces and how they work.
Right. No. No big deal.
Light shake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, we got more billionaires, baby.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, the 2020 pandemic drove a 30% increase of billionaires, while 150 million human beings were likely pushed into extreme poverty.
feels like it.
I'm yeah. But there's, Kim Kardashian now qualifies as a billionaire, so that's big news. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, it's just the biggest increase in people in number of billionaires in the history of the world. And also, like, for the first time in 20 years, the number of people in poverty is going up instead of going down.
But the biggest news is that Kylie Jenner is no longer a billionaire. So that's got to hurt.
Right.
Being related to Kim. She's back down to like 700 million. That's painful. You know,
she has to feel so
humiliated.
Underachiever in that family.
Oh my God.
She's a first self-unmade billionaire.
Oh my God.
Anyways. We should arrest them all. This should be a list of people who all get arrested.
Just take their money. Just normalize Pat.
Give it to everybody who's not already a millionaire.
Just pat anyone's pockets who like walks out of a Bentley.
Mm-hmm.
That should just be known. You're like, you know what? You get to pat their pockets. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you got, man? What do you got?
I love how, like, on Twitter people, because remember Kylie had that GoFundMe thing where she was like raising money for my makeup artist who got in a horrible car accident instead of just giving him money that I have. Right. And everybody got mad at her. And then people in the comments were like, you know what? I don't care how much money she has. Let her spend her money the way she wants to.
Yeah,
and it's like, that's not her money. That's the slave wages she's paying the workers who are making her stuff.
That's the whole American ideal right there.
Yeah.
Well, but when I become a billionaire, then like people are going to take my money? I mean, come on.
Yeah, when you're a millionaire. Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes. Because keep sipping on that. Yeah. See where that gets you.
Let's talk real quick toxic positivity. This study kind of, I don't know, it hit extra hard with me because this is kind of what I was raised on, like the happiness is a choice type shit. And I feel that there's a new kind of article out from a psychiatrist or psychologist who's saying that, you know, this is a huge problem right now, that like social media makes it extra hard to resist because you get these like hypercharged people who are going through like manic periods or just like, you know, are able to show you what things look like in their life for like 20 minutes at a time and edit out the time when they're resting. And they're just like, I'm up every morning hustling. I wake up at 2 a.m. to work out. And, you know, it just requires unsustainable levels of energy and hyper focus that eventually causes a crash. But those crashes get edited out of the reality on social media. And it's bad for you.
I love that this study happened. I love that they're taking down toxic positivity because I'm very toxically negative, and that's a win for my team. You know what I mean? Like, I hate a lot of things, and I talk about...
Fuck you, positivity.
Yeah, fuck you, happiness. My state of rest is unrest, and I just want more people to feel that, you know? Because there's a lot of shit that's happening in this world, and if you're happy, you're not talking about it, and you're not fixing it. You know what I mean? Like, you're fucking... crossfitting your way past it. Right. I love this. I love that this has proved me right in the most petty way possible.
Yeah. I mean, so this one case they talk about, they said her style of thinking, like where it was just like, wake up and hustle, girl boss your way into being like happy. She was like, it made me feel guilty when she felt any emotion other than happiness or when she chose to rest. And like, I just... fully identify with that. That was like the first...
Oh my God. It's just so weird. People, they adopt these like thought operating systems off of social media of like grind mode.
Yeah.
That is based... It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's all an illusion. But then you go all in on it and allow yourself to be hollowed out by this useless ideology when really it's you... The whole key to this whole shit is taking care of yourself. Yeah. It's taking care of yourself too.
Yeah, you're supposed to take care of yourself, and they're not doing that, but they're also not taking care of other people. Like a lot of these, like this toxic positivity relies on other people, like keeping up with them, doing the work for them, doing emotional labor, doing stuff in the community so that they can, those people can like keep grinding and being ambitious and like, you know, moving through it. And so it's like, that's the toxic part, is them not focusing on the leaks as the ship is sinking.
Right.
Like they're just like barreling forward.
The Tim Ferriss 5-hour work week where it's like, yeah, you get to work 5 hours while like other people are exploited for their labor and work full time. And get paid shit.
Yeah. Or you just exchange this idea of achieving or hustling rather than improving yourself, addressing the deficiencies within yourself, trauma that you may have not addressed or worked through that may be fueling this grind. I don't know. There may be a lot there to look at internally.
Right.
But yeah, just this, it's so weird to, especially like in the pandemic, to still see like people post like that. I was like, what are y'all doing to yourself?
Yeah.
This is not the same world, even for what?
Yeah.
This makes me, you know what? This study about how toxic positivity is bad, making me feel a little bit more positive, you guys. It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's making me feel good.
Again,
be compassionate.
You know,
just
like this person who's saying like it was an anxiety inducing cycle, because a lot of this can happen, especially because social media just lets people go have runaway comparative living.
Yeah.
Where everything becomes comparative.
Yeah, my head's like messed up from just being on social media all day. Like during the entire quarantine, all you see is these numbers on social media and like what other people are doing on social media. And it literally took, I went to the Echo Park protest and that was the first thing that I'd gone to in a really long time while quarantining. And I was just like, oh my God, I don't even think I like that guy anymore. I was just like, it just got me out got me out of my like head and my and the computer and stuff. It was, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Just let it go. And again, I think the biggest thing you say when you're getting down on yourself, just this is a very simple exercise to begin sort of breaking your habit of being so toxic and down on yourself, is out loud say the things you're feeling bad about. So in this instance of this person, it's going to be like, well, I'm not reaching my lofty goals that are damn near impossible.
Right.
I feel guilty that I'm not happy. I need to work harder. If your home friend, your homie said that to you, you would not be like, yeah, you're right. The fuck is wrong with you? You'd be like, whoa, yeah. The fuck? Nah, be easy.
Right.
You're doing a lot.
Right.
I mean, are you Jeff Bezos right now, or are you not?
Right. Are you a girl boss?
Your homie's pee into this bottle.
Girl boss or girl popper? Which one is it going to be? But I think at the end of the day, you have to be able to extend that sort of same empathy to yourself that you would another person, because that's the thing barely any of us are able to do, is to treat ourselves with that same kindness. And when you have some ideology like this going on, it's doubly important that you get out of it and be like, well, hold the fuck up.
I feel like it's
you're demanding too much.
And I think it's endemic in America. I don't think it's.
Yeah.
I think social media like makes it easier to observe and probably worse, because it can be like a self-fulfilling cycle. But I mean, this is like the very foundation of American thinking and American dysfunction is
capitalism. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Make yourself, you have to feel useful and you have to feel productive, and you have to feel like happiness is a means to feeling more productive, is a means to happiness. And it's just,
That's why, that positive psychology shit of like, you know, trying to at the other end of, rather than saying if I achieve this, then I will be happy, is to reverse the conditions to be happy, which is you'll start from a place of being able to be happy,
right,
and you'll quickly realize that you'll probably be able to succeed because you've reordered things. Mm.
Well, Pallavi, it has been such a pleasure, as always, having you on the show. Where can people find you and follow you?
I'm at Pallavi Ganalan, PallaviGunalan, everywhere. Yeah.
There it is.
There it is.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes. My friend Christopher, he's a comedian and writer. He's super funny. He's at It's Christopher, KRISTOFER. He had a tweet. I was like, send me your funniest tweet, because I think his tweets are so great. He had a tweet that said, I transitioned to male because I couldn't take wearing pants with those horrible tiny pockets any longer. Naturally, cutting off my breasts was the only option.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me Twitter, Instagram at Miles of Gray, and also 420 Day Fiance. Check us out over there. Some tweets that I like. Damn, the tweets are just so fucking good right now. Let's see. First one is from, this is from Andri at Andriannies, A-N-D-R-I-A-N-N-I-E-S, saying, the New York in me understood this completely differently, LMFAO. And it's a TMZ quote tweet that says, Demi Lovato says DMX OD scared her. It could have been me. So it's a DMX OD scared me. Like, anyway.
Right.
He's always going OD. Right. Anyway, come on now. And one more is from just this like fucking moment from The View where it says, this person says, just obsessed with this pivot. And it's Joy Behar just talking. And you just see how Whoopi Goldberg comes out of this.
They are dying from the disease, okay? I don't see how the Democrats are supposed to convince the Republicans to get a brain going, okay?
Okay. Your hair looks amazing, by the way. We'll be right back.
Yo, Whoopi does not give a fuck anymore, okay. Dude. Every reaction from the view is just Whoopi being like, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Your hair looks great, Joy. After this, boom. Keep it
moving. I love Whoopi.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Thank you, man. God bless. Tweeted, I'm seeing a big shift in friends moving away from alcohol, caffeine, nicotine, and towards the bright light emanating from the woods, the voice promising all the riches in the world has to offer, also coming from the woods, the delicious smell of something in the woods. And I like this tweet from Sophie Gadd that is accompanied by an actual photograph of this item from the grocery store. She said, babe, are you okay? You've barely touched your Call of Duty Warzone pasta. And it's a Call of Duty Warzone packet of cheese and broccoli pasta and sauce with a soldier on on the bag. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we recommend you go listen to now. Miles, what song are we recommending?
It's Friday. I'm old. I'm horny. It's time for Genuine Remixes of Pony.
No way! Yeah!
This is like a fucking like reggaeton, fucking just like Latin turn-up version of Genuine's Pony. It's by Terra Cora, T-E-R-A-K-O-R-A. It's on SoundCloud. But if you like,
if you're horny, let's
I'm
do
old
it.
And it's got a whole horny. Bop to it.
Yeah.
It's going to make your big toe just the toenail's going to shoot off your toenail. This thing
Holy
it goes so
shit.
Hard. So check that link in the footnotes.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Go listen to that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We're back one more time this afternoon to tell you what is trending on this fine Friday afternoon, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.